the Lord. Welcome to Bible studies tonight, church. So glad to have you. And as we heard read not too long ago, Acts chapter 5, all of a sudden, the young church has ventured out into a new experience. The kind of experience that we are going to look on in a little while, which produces judgment instantly. And this tells us that the Holy Ghost, who is in charge of the church, is watching every area of our meetings, is looking on every aspect of the work, whether it is in the Apostolic Church in America, our church here, or New Divine, Pastor Gunther in Fort Lauderdale, or the any Baptist, or any Methodist, or any Anglican, Presbyterian, Church of God, prophecy, or what, the Holy Ghost is looking on the different operations of these different churches. And he is in control, and he can make his mark or make his presence felt in any one of these churches at any time and in any way he chooses to do it. We need to be mindful of that. We are here as servants of God, administering according to his leading. But he has overriding responsibility. He can overrule anything that we say. And we need to be very much conscious of that each time that we come into a meeting, even this one. And I find the passage read a while ago by Sister Bennett very chilling. A very chilling passage of scripture. And to think of it, there are only few other scriptures in the entire Bible that is as moving as this one when it comes to the judgment, the instant judgment of Almighty God. But while I mentioned that, that is not where we're going to start. We will go back to Acts chapter 4. And we will look at a few verses there from verse 32 to the end of Acts chapter 4. And then we will go into Acts chapter 5. In between that, I am going to leave the phone open for us to make our comment, whether it is in chapter 4 or chapter 5. It doesn't really matter. But before I go to chapter 5, we certainly are going to leave the phone open for your comment. But let me just start on verse 32 of Acts chapter 4. It says, "And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Let me pause there for a while. Listen to what the word just said to us. The word said, and before we even get there, I would like us to bear this in mind, that there were people who were converted. There are young Christians in this company who were from other country, not just people from in and around Jerusalem, people from other country. The word tells us, if you remember someplace there in Acts chapter 2, the word tells us that there were present people from every nation under heaven gathered together in Jerusalem. There were people, Acts chapter 2 verse 5, there were people who come from every nation who were there in Jerusalem. So when we talk about a multitude here, we are talking about people from other land, people from other country who got saved and they decided to stay with the crowd in Jerusalem, following the leading of the apostles. And the church was being formed. The church, as it were in its infancy. There are new things that were taking place and things that they did not really used to, but they were happening nonetheless. And right on the spot, Peter had to apply leadership role for these people so that everything done decently and in order. And we know also that the Holy Ghost was very much present in directing his servants. So there were people from all over outside of Jerusalem gathered there. You remember when Peter preached, it was 3,000 people got saved at one time. And then in Acts 4, we discover another 5,000. And then the word tells us also that God added unto the church daily such as to be saved. A vast company of people were here at this time. These people had needs, especially the strangers outside of Jerusalem. They need clothing. They need a change of clothes. They need food. They need somewhere to sleep. They need water, and the needs go on for so many people, strangers. But what we see here in verse 32 of Acts 4 is the sentiment and the thought of the people. And what particularly struck me here is when the people said, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. Think about that for a minute. In other words, because of the touch of the Holy Ghost, because of the Holy Ghost opening the heart of these people, they reach a place in God, though they were young converts, they reach a place in God where they said, the land that I have, it is not mine, it belongs to the Lord. The house that I have, it is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. That is the confession of the people. And it comes only from a heart that is touched. The words of the things they possess, they call it belonging to the Lord. And one of the definitions of the word Lord mean he is the owner. One of the definition of the word Lord mean owner. That's why you have people called landlord. You rent a property from them. You rent a room, you rent a house from them, and you pay rent to them. They are called the landlord. They own the property that you live in. So the definition of the word Lord means owner. And the people here are saying, these things that we have, is not ours. They belong to the Lord. And they, having that knowledge, the Holy Ghost having impressed upon them this truth, what they in turn decide to do? They look across and they saw the need for the church. And they decide to make voluntary contribution. Peter didn't have to go out and say, look, we are in trouble. You have to do this. John didn't go one side, take a group and said, what are we going to do here? The people, the brethren, the believers, the young converts, decided the things that they possess wasn't theirs. It belongs to the Lord. And what they choose to do was to sell these things, houses and land, bring the money and gave it to the apostles, for the apostles to address all the needs of these people, especially the strangers that comes outside of Jerusalem to be there. What a move of the Holy Ghost. What a move of the Holy Ghost and a young congregation. This is voluntary stuff. And verse 33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. What a happy bunch. What a happy bunch of people. You can, as you look on the black and white here, you can see unity pumping out of the word of God into your spirit. As you look and see the descriptions that are here, the unity of the young church is just beaming out before you. And you realize that it was a sense of oneness. Hallelujah! That all were seeing the same thing. The Holy Ghost being the common factor in each and every one of them lives. And verse 34 said, neither was there any among them that lack, for as many as were possessors of land or house sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Hallelujah. Church, this is what it is all about. This is the cook. This is the base of the whole thing. They sold their possession, their houses and land, and they voluntarily bring the money, laid it down at the apostles' feet, and the apostle took over and used that money to administer to the different need of the different people that were there. And every person was satisfied with what came from the body because they were operating as one. There were people there who had nothing to sell. There were people there who had nothing, absolutely nothing to contribute physically. But yet, they were well taken care of by those who had something to contribute. And let me go on. 36 said, and Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted as son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The vast company of them sold their lands and houses and brought the money and laid at the apostles' feet. But the Holy Ghost chose to single out Barnabas in his act. Now, who is Barnabas? Barnabas was somebody in the church. Barnabas was from Judaism, coming out of the early church, coming from Judaism, coming from under the law. Work with the priests in the temple from time to time, but was converted to Christianity. And so good things were said here in regards to him. And it is my feeling that there are some special people that God has. Special people that God has. And every church, I believe, have one or more of them. Barnabas was a very special man. No wonder he is called the son of consolation. He is an encourager. He is one that comforts the young converts. He's the one in the church that makes everybody feel comfortable and at home. It is his nature. He was not putting on anything. That is all he is. In the early church, in Judaism, when he was under the law working with the priest, he would support the priest in the different things that the priest does. He was the man between the priest and the people. He has a good personality that touches the heart of people to make them feel comfortable. And this is Barnabas, and he was a blessing to this young church, young congregation. And he saw where there is the need for more financial contribution to this crowd. And he took it upon himself. He went out and he sold his own possession. And he brought the money, put it at the apostles' feet for them to distribute it among the young convert. Look as if we're going to dwell a little bit on money tonight. And resources for the church tonight. But it is still the Holy Ghost running things here. And the Holy Ghost is bearing witness to Jesus. So we need to ask ourselves the question, is all that we have seen from verse 32 until here, 37, is there anything contrary to what Jesus would embrace? That is a question we need to ask ourselves. Were they doing anything in all of these contributions, in all of these distribution, in all of these personal commitments, were they doing anything contrary to what Jesus stands for? I said, no, 1,000 times no. They were operating within the same ambit of what Jesus would do. And after all, it is the Holy Ghost that was organizing things, and it's the Holy Ghost that was operating at this time in the young body of believers. You know, when I read this, my heart went back to Mark chapter 12. And there are two things that I'm going to say on this. Mark chapter 12, I think it's 41 to 44. Where Jesus was in the temple. And Jesus was watching the offering bowl. Jesus placed himself at a certain point where he was able to look across and see the contributors to the offering plate. And he took notice. Oftentimes, you hear people talk that the Lord is not interested in money. And of course, I intend to agree with them, because the hurt is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. And the Lord even make it clear in his word that if I was hungry, I would not tell you. I wouldn't tell you anything if I was hungry. But why? Because I know where to get resources from to satisfy my hunger, independent of you. So some truth might be in that. But why is it then that the Lord was placed himself where he was able to see the offering plate in the church and watch who were making contribution from who weren't? And not only that, he was watching who was making contribution from who weren't, but he was also watching motives. This is a serious thing as far as the church is concerned. And sometimes we run the risk. Brethren, we run the risk of saying things that are offensive to God when we don't really understand fully the way in which the Lord operates. Jesus could have been teaching somebody. Jesus could have been healing somebody. But he chooses to place himself. Let me read the passage. Mark chapter 12. Listen to what it says here. Mark chapter 12, 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. He sat across from the offering bowl. And behold, how the people cast money in the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them. Can you imagine? His interest in the offering bowl is of such, that he had to invite his disciples to inform them of what he had just discovered. So he called over his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in out of their abundance, but she of her wants did cast in all that she had, even all her living. That's what happened. Jesus stood there, or sat there beside the offering bowl, and he watched motive and he watched contribution. There are some who put in plenty. The reason why they put in plenty, because they have abundance and they don't really miss what they've cast in there. But this woman, Jesus said, have nothing else. And she put it all. Why did Jesus inform the disciples about the sacrificial contribution? It's not that he's not accepting the gift of others who are abundant, but the thing that reaches Jesus is the sacrificial contribution. He had nothing more left. And she gave it all. I'm going to turn it over to you in a little while, but please allow me to say this last one to you. David, after he numbered the children of Israel, and he had displeased the Lord in doing so, the Lord decided to send judgment upon Israel as a result of David's action. And before you know it, 70,000 of David's soldiers died as a result of his act. And he prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord threw him a threshing floor. And he went over, and the owner for the threshing floor was surprised to see him and said to him, look, what are you doing here? We're talking about 2 Samuel here. What are you doing here? He said he came to sacrifice. And the owner said, I will give you this threshing floor. And not only the threshing floor, I will also give you the sacrifice to go on it. I will give you the log to burn. Because he reverenced David as a king and he wanted to make his contribution. What did David say? What did David say there? David said to him, we talked about 2 Samuel 24, 18 to 25. David said to him, I will not give unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. I will purchase it. And as a result of purchasing it, I will then make sacrifice on it unto the Lord. Because in that case, it would have cost me something. And the word tells us after David, purchase the place and present the sacrifice on it unto the Lord. Then the Lord holds his hand. The Lord holds the death angel hand, and no more death took place. The judgment was lifted from off the people of Israel because David said, I will sacrifice unto the Lord only that which cost me something. And when we look at Acts 4, and when we see believers, young believers, sold their possession and gave it to the church to advance the work of God, it is the fact that they were seeing God through the lenses of the Holy Ghost. And we will talk a little more about whether or not our gifts are valuable in the sight of God. We will touch on that in a little while. But I just want to say to the church tonight, we are seeing a new dimension in the early church. We are seeing where God has injected in the young believers the importance of giving towards his work. And it is very much in line with the thought of God, as we see Jesus watching that offering bowl. And as we heard David said, I am not going to give unto the Lord that which costs me nothing. Bless the Lord. Who will be the first, as I open the phones to the believers, who will be the first to share your thoughts?
Yes, Pastor Henry.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember many years ago when I was home, things wasn't going well. And I remember my sister sent me $20. At that time, I did not give my life to the Lord. And I went to that bank in Linstead. And I changed that $20. As I said, I was in the world. I need lipstick. I need every worldly things. And my husband, Catholic, and I went to church with him that Sunday. And I put $50 into that collection plate. And I'm telling you, from that day, the Lord has blessed me. And in those days, going to church, you know, we just threw a collection. Nobody talk about tithes and offering. But I was listening to the television with a service from here in America, and I heard about tithes and offering, and that's where I learned from.
Yes.
Until I read it in the Bible.
Yes.
And I have been giving. I made mistake, but God is with me. He has blessed me, delivered me, and he's keeping me, and I'm so grateful that I embrace that tithes and offering. Because I know blessings is in it. Blessings. Pastor, if I rob God from I know about tithes and offering, I don't do it on purpose. God has been good. And I will encourage anyone tonight, if you don't start it yet, start it now. thank it and give to God first. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much, Sister Bennett. I think what we are seeing here, Sister Bennett, it seemed to bring a sense of soberness to the conversation. It brings a sense of soberness to our heart and a refocus on what is important as far as God is concerned. Taking things for granted, we have done too often. It is a time for us to take stock of ourselves to see if, after all, am I really giving unto the Lord what is due to Him? And while it is true that we are talking money here, it is also true that time is important. The value of the time that we give to Him is important. All of these things are surfacing now. We are seeing all of these things surfacing now. Am I giving Him valuable time? Let me hold back here on this value thought until we get some more comment. Because it is opening up different avenues as believers as to whether or not, in the words of the psalmist, when he said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits?" That's the question the psalmist himself asked. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? And we can ask ourselves the same thing too. That is, if we really regard the benefits that we receive from God as anything. But if we see the beauty and the greatness of the benefits that we have received from Him, we need to ask ourselves the question, what is so valuable that we can't give to the Lord? Can we have another comment?
Yes, Pastor.
Yes, Sister B.
As you were talking, I was just saying, why are you looking on my paper? I'm jotting down some things. And number one was the earth is the Lord's. But we're not going to go back there. Number two is motives. Okay? And then I write under that, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. You hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you. Yes.
Okay. And then you mentioned about the multitude of people that were in Jerusalem that needed provision, and yes, they were strangers. So I focus on the word stranger, because yes, God always tells His people that they are to remember the stranger.
Yes, indeed.
And to remember the poor. I'm just giving those two little things there as I jump jotting down something. And then there is this song that says, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite will I withhold. More than that, take your mind, take your voice, take your hands, take everything. But we're talking about money now. And you say, not a mite will I withhold. And you spoke about the widow's mite. And then I'm going to stop writing this one. Proverbs 11:24-25 says, "There is not scatter it and yet increase it. There is not withhold it." Withhold. We're talking about this word, withhold it. "More than is meat, but it tends to poverty." And then it goes on to say, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So,
yes.
So it's all about your love for the Lord. And the last thing was, it says, to love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two commandments that hang upon everything. Hang these two commandments.
Amen. Amen. Yes, go ahead, Sister Barbara. I was just confirming something there.
You can comment on those, sir. I didn't stretch them out. I just jot them down and put in number one, number two. So whichever one you want to talk about, fine.
Yes, but so are you through?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sister Barbara, because you brought up something that I was not going to comment on, and that I wouldn't comment on it, but I didn't remember. And you just brought it to my attention here. That when it comes to money, it seemed to be a weak point in the lives of people and the Lord Jesus. Because here is this young influential man who came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, "What must I do that I might inherit eternal life?" So Jesus asked him, "If you know the commandment, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and all the rest of it." The young man said, "All these things have I kept from I was a youth." And Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest. Go and sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor." No, he said, "What lackest? What is it that I am lack? I lack." Jesus said, "Go sell the things that you have and distribute it to the poor." It is clear. It is clear from that exchange. It is clear from that exchange that when the word said, the commandment that is so important that one should keep is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. This man did not keep that one because he had another God before God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And it proved before Jesus, right before Jesus, that he had a God that he could not disown, and that is his money. Because Jesus said, "Distribute what you have to the poor and come take up your cross and follow me." And he could not do that. And the word said he walked away sad upon Jesus making that statement. Therefore, if money has taken center stage and robbed him of eternal life, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." And this young man who thought that he had kept all the commandments, he overlooked that one. And have the bare face to come and tell Jesus that I kept all of them. His money was his God. His money was his God up until then. And who to tell if that God did not remain with him even when he died? His money. And he would have lost out on eternal life. Thank you for bringing that up, Sister Barbara. And it goes to the heart of what we are talking about here tonight. Because here are these young Christians having their home, the land, it's theirs. They voluntarily sold them, brought the money to the disciples or the apostles, and the apostles used those money to help the wider crowd. What is it that you have that was not given to you? What is it that I have that was not given to me? The source of our giving is Almighty God. The source of our getting is Almighty God. And therefore, there should not be anything too hard to give unto the Lord. That is what is displayed here in the scriptures. And the Holy Ghost was careful to make sure that all this piece of information stayed in the scripture so that we are able to see tonight. You go to the stop sign. You go to the stop sign. And somebody used the opportunity of the vehicle being stopped and called to you and asked you for a dollar to buy some food. And you said, and you might be right, and you said, or I said, I am not going to give you a dollar because you're going to use it to buy drugs. And you drove over without giving it to him. An next person come, and the same thing happened. And the person gave him the dollar. On the ground that, he is establishing a covenant with God with this dollar. The man asked him for a dollar to buy food. In his mind and in the mind of God, he is giving this dollar with the intention that the man is going to use it and buy food. Maybe the man used the money and buy drugs. But he has established an agreement with God on the basis that I am giving this dollar on the ground that this man needs food, and I'm helping him out in the name of the Lord. No business what he wants to do with it when he walk away from you. You have already entered into a covenant with God that you are giving this dollar on the basis of the man's hunger. Church, every day we seem to learn something new from the Word of God. And so you find Matthew 25. We keep going back to it so often. When did I see you hunger and I didn't feed you? When did I see you naked? I didn't clothe you. Jesus, sit close to that offering bowl to see motives and to see given. What is the purpose of some people not contributing to the work of God? And it is not that they can't do it. It's not that they don't have the resources. But why is it that they have not contributed to the work of God? In the different churches right across America, these people here, these young converts, they have just gotten saved and the Holy Ghost opened their hearts so that they could see Jesus high and lifted up and his strength fills the temple. Is there somebody else who would like to make a contribution here?
I would like to.
Donna, oh.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? What I think is our biggest problem, though, is it is really a heart issue. It is our heart, and we just have to keep praying for that heart of stone to be removed and that heart of flesh can enter. Because it's really a heart issue, because when I read this scripture, it brings me back to Malachi 3:10.
I was going there, my sister, but it's all right. Go ahead, I'm glad.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that, you know, reading it all brings me back to Malachi 3:10, and we just have to keep praying for each other, because it's really a heart issue. As one of the sisters said, wherever your treasure is your heart, right? The scripture said that.
But
I think our biggest problem. So that's it for me.
God bless you, Sister Donna. It is really a heart issue. The word tells us, I'm going faster, the word tells us in Acts 16 that when the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, we discover what happened after that.
Yeah.
Lydia invited God's servant to her house. Lydia not only invited them to her house, but Lydia put them up. Lydia invited them to stay with her. And not only that, Lydia established the principle of giving in the church at Philippi. That later on, the Apostle Paul was given to commend those churches for giving out of the little bit of resources that he knows they have. All because the Lord opened the heart of a young woman. And as a result of her heart opened by God, she opened her door. And then she opened her hand. And she opened her mouth and ministered to her household that they too got saved. It is all a part of the heart, Sister Donna. Go ahead, Pastor.
It's a tremendous lesson we learn when we read the scriptures about who God is. And just thinking, back in the Old Testament, God fed the Israelites. He provided for them for so many years. And yet, many grumbled at what he had provided for them. But he continued to provide each day. I think of God, sir, is interested in all people. As the word God said, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. I move quickly to think of Jesus speaking to the multitude. And a little boy, think of it, the lunch that he had, a boy, was able to feed so many because it was given out of a heart of love.
Yes.
Jesus took the loaf and a few fishes, and he asked the Heavenly Father. This is the part that I'm trying to get across, that the God that we serve is interested in all men. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. I am thankful for God, because if you look at the hearts of men, compared to the heart of God, men don't love most times, but God loves all men.
Yes.
And what a price he gave, what a gift, his son. But I'd like to go back to the little boy giving his lunch and over 5,000 people were fed. We then look at what we're reading here now from Acts. Here it is. the multitude that were there, first 3,000 people, then 4,000 people, many of them didn't go back home.
No.
And so they had need there. And the Spirit of God moved upon those that were there. I do hope that the congregation will see what I'm trying to talk about, that God is interested in all people, that God is miraculous. The Spirit of God moved upon the multitude that were there, and those who had more than one or two, out of the oneness of heart, they were able to sow what they had and shared it with the others who didn't have. It's a wonderful thing when we embrace God as our Father. Lastly, I use one last illustration. Jesus again speaking to the multitudes, and he said, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. If you ask bread, I'll not give you a stone. Fish, write down. And then the part that I like, he says, the Heavenly Father, give good gifts to all if we ask of him. If we ask him for salvation, he gives it to us. We ask him for peace, Jesus speaks of God, the Heavenly Father, gives peace. The Holy Spirit speaking to Isaiah says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If we would only trust God, sir, and brethren, God will meet our needs.
Yeah, sure.
In whatever way he chooses.
Yes.
He will meet our needs. And I'll stop by saying, we need to get people to see that the God that we serve is interested in all. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would have everlasting life. That's a God that we need to present to the multitudes all over the world today. God is interested in all men. And lastly, look at the Samaritan purse. Have you ever seen the kind of work that they are doing all over the world?
Yes.
They are putting up houses, food, water, all kind of things for people who are not Christians. Some are Christians. But there is a need. The God that we serve is not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. And I do pray we will learn, just widen our view a little bit and see the God that we are serving. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He meets our need if we ask of him. May God bless our hearts as we continue this study in the book of Acts and see the manifestation of the power of God in the disciples and the apostles. May God bless our hearts tonight.
Yes, bless you all. Thank you, Pastor, for that contribution that you have made there. That God is interested in the lives of all men. None of those young converts was in need of anything, because God saw that they were in need of certain things, and God of that fulfilled, God of that need satisfied by having other young converts selling their own position and making a contribution to their situation. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. I think somebody else was trying to get you just now. Was there?
Pastor. Yes, Pastor.
Yes.
When you refer to Mark chapter 12,
yes.
44, it reminds me of something my grandma said to me when I was a teenager. She
yes.
came to the house and I was cooking dinner. And I took up the bunch of banana and I was counting on my finger and counting the banana. She said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm counting as to how many people and how many bananas should look at, you know." Always remember the passerby. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "You know your father is always turning up with somebody who's hungry."
Yes.
And
yes.
From that day, I can never cook. Just me and my son. There's always a plate of food for somebody to get. And even if it's a large plate of food and someone comes here and is hungry, he'll come and say, "Mommy, can I give them what is the food?" I said, "Go ahead." Even Saturday, I put up his turn up and was hungry. And we had a burger party in the evening. I said, "Take it out and fix it and give it to her." And she made the reference and said, "I like to come to your house because I can always know that I'm going to get something to eat."
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Bless God. Bless God. Sister, sometimes you entertain angels unaware. And so it is important that you have yourself ready to entertain them. Bless the Lord. Well, you see, it comes down. It comes back to the Christian heart. The Christian
Amen.
Heart. Do you have a heart
Amen.
For God? That is what the whole thing is all about. Do you have a heart for God?
Pastor?
Yes.
Pastor, can I just tell you something that happened to me, sir? I
yes.
usually give when the people ask for something. And there was a time I stopped. I said, maybe they take the money to buy a drug. But there was one day I was standing out at Walgreens, and this man came and he said, he made sign, touch his mouth and, you know, telling you that I took it, that he's hungry. And I didn't pay any attention. But Pastor, standing up there, something happened to me. And I said, you know, I went in my purse and I said to myself, I'm not going to give him the money. If he shows me the sign that he's hungry, I'm going to get him something to eat. And I went back in Walgreens and I bought this thing they call sugar bun. And Pastor, I came out and gave it to him. And the man actually grabbed it from me. And Pastor, he ate it. And I said, "My Lord, look at that."
Yeah.
The man was hungry. And I was thinking differently. So it's in your heart, Pastor. Your heart.
Really hungry, Sister Bernice. He was really hungry, really in need of it.
Yes, so, you know, I said to myself, it's the softness of my heart. And it's God put it on me to let the man, I know I had to do something because my conscience would bother me, sir. And I know now, as a believer in Christ, I did the right thing.
Certainly. And we are going to be confronted with these things as we go forward. We need to have the scripture in order to guide us.
Yeah.
To guide
yeah.
us in those moments so that we make the correct decision. It might not necessarily come in that form, Sister
yeah.
to all of us. But
yeah.
the Lord is going to appear in many different forms.
Yes,
he said in Matthew 25, "I was hungry, I was naked, I was in prison."
Yes.
You see, in different form, he
yes,
is going
sir.
To come to us. And we need to go into our pocket for the Lord. You know, Sister Donna made mention of something in Malachi. And from what I see, Sister Barbara, it appears as though we might not be able to, we might have to come back to this section here because we haven't gone into Acts 5 yet and it is after 9. She made some mention of something in Malachi. As I said, I was going to go there. One of the things that the Lord said in Malachi The people asked the Lord a question. Where have you, have we robbed you? Where have we robbed you? You said that, you said that we have robbed you. But where is it that we have robbed you? And the Lord make it clear right up to them. You have robbed me in tithes and offering. Malachi 3. Listen to what verse 8 said. Will a man rob God? Yet he had robbed me. But he said, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Malachi 3 verse 8. Verse 9 said, and ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then verse 10 is the one that we need to pay some attention to. Because we need to prove this God. And we have not given ourselves the chance to prove him. Listen to what verse 10 said. Bring me all the tithes into the storehouse, that there will be meat in my house, and prove me now. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room. There shall be not be room enough to receive it. That's what the Lord said. The Lord said, look, you have robbed me of tithes and offering. But if you stop robbing me, prove me, check me out, test me, and see what I will do if you remain faithful. See if I will not pour out a blessing upon you. See if all of these come into my storehouse. See if I will not return the blessing unto you. You know, Moses went to the Lord and said, Lord, the people are complaining that they need flesh. They need flesh to eat every day. Sorry. Every day they are eating this manna. Manna. They said if they could get a break from this manna and start to eat some flesh. And then Moses said to the Lord, but where can we find flesh for these people? If we kill all the animals that we have with us, it will not be enough to satisfy them. So listen to what the Lord said. No? The Lord said, is my hand short? The Lord said to Moses, is my hand short? And what the Lord did, he just caused the east wind to blow. And it blew flesh to the side of the tents, so that it stood up as high as 3 feet in stockpile. The Lord was able to provide food in terms of flesh. And all these crows, the Lord stockpiled beside the tents of all of the children of Israel. We're talking about millions of people. Millions. The Lord said to Moses, is my hands short? And the Lord was able to just blew an east wind. And the wind blew. And before you know what happened, enough birds were gathered together in one place beside the tents. And there were more than what they need to eat. In fact, they eat so much that it was even coming through their nostrils.
What a mighty God is there.
This is the God that we serve. He has the ability to... But let me just close off here by saying this, as we were talking about value. It is important, too, that when we are giving to the Lord, and church, this is a Bible study, so we have to try to cover everything here. That when we are giving to the Lord, we make sure that we give unto the Lord something substantial. The Lord said in Malachi 8, listen to what he said in Malachi 8. Malachi 1, verse 8. If he offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If he offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. You see what I'm saying? So the Lord is saying, look, put some value on the things that you offer unto the Lord. Put some value on it. Don't offer the lame and the blind, because the governor wouldn't accept it. And therefore, I should not accept it either. And so when we look at this and see the Lord against that offering bowl and the woman offer a farthing. Some of us so young we don't even know what a farthing is. A farthing is the lowest money that could be found at one stage in Jamaica. The lowest value money that could be found at one stage. And the Lord looked and her contribution and said, she has contributed more than the others. Why? Her gift was valuable from the standpoint that is all she had. Hallelujah. Those young converts, their gifts were valuable because that is all that they had. They sold it and gave it to the work of God. Do you know, church, and I close on this, do you know that while the Bible said we should give 10% of what we work unto the Lord, do you know that our offering can be much bigger than our tithes? 10% of $100 is $10. But we can give the entire $100 to the Lord. In form of offering.
Yes.
I close by saying this to all of us tonight, that we have seen an example as to how Christians should treat the work of God. And while we study the book of Acts, and to pick out the different things that are in there, which were practiced by the early church, it is to our advantage that we have it tonight. So that from here going forward, we will have a more meaningful approach to how we give unto the work of the Lord, because he's not sitting too far from the offering bowl, and he's watching our motive, and he's watching who is giving from who is not giving. The Lord bless you, friends. And I trust that all of us hearts have been open to the needs and the requirements of the Lord.
Amen.
As far as His work is concerned. Father, we bless your name tonight. And we thank you. We thank you for showing us something about your word. That it is not an everyday thing that we discuss. But tonight we look on this because we have come across it. It is part of the study. It is in our way. We could not pass here without having this discussion. And so we thank you for bringing to our hearts the awareness of this most important subject. Where do you stand in the giving of your people according to your work? We have seen it here tonight, and it is absolutely clear that you expect your people to contribute to your work to advance the kingdom of heaven. Open our understanding, O Lord, and let us apply ourselves accordingly as we bring honor and glory to your name. We say thanks in Jesus' name.